There is so much going on in Parshas Vayishlach. I want to focus for now on the sugya of Rachel. The sugya of Rachel, which appears for the first time in Parshas Vayishlach. Obviously, there's a reprise in Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu discusses at the end of his life with Yosef. I want to take a look at the Ramban's comments on Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Tazayin. And the Yisumi Beisel, they travel from Beisel, they're headed towards Ephrat. But he owed Kivras Ha'aretz Lavo Ephrat, another Kivras Ha'aretz, another Kivra of the land, it sounds like, on their way towards reaching Ephrat. Vateled Rachel Vatekash Belivta. Rachel gives birth, she gives birth to Binyamin, the 12th Shvatim, and it's a very difficult labor, ultimately a lethal delivery for her. Binyamin survives, but as you know, she does not. What's this Kivras Ha'aretz? The detail that the Torah throws in, but another Kivras Ha'aretz to come to Ephras. Well, what's it all about? Let's take a look at the comments of the Ramban. Ramban opens with Rashi, and then he gives his own approach. Kivras Ha'aretz. Rabban opens by quoting Rashi, who in turn quotes one of the early grammarians, Menachem and Dunash, are two grammarians that go back to before the Rishonim, to the days of the Gaonim, and Rashi will quote from time to time, sometimes in issues of grammar and sometimes in issues of definitions, dictionary issues. But the Kivras Ha'aretz, Menachem, Pirish, Lashon Kabir. And the language is something great. Kel Kabir, the great God. So Kivras Ha'aretz, he says, Mahalach Rav is still a long way to go. There's still an abundant trip left to make it to Ephrat. So that's Al Pi Pshuto, the approach of Menachem, a long distance. The Agada, Rashi quotes, from the Bereishis Rabbah, Bizman Sha'aretz, additional layer of interpretation, is Kivras Ha'aretz, Bizman Sha'aretz, Chalulo Kechavara. Kevara is a sifter or a sieve. We're talking about a description not of a distance or a location, but a time, the season of the year, that time of the year when the soil is more aerated, like a sifter, like a sieve, like a kevara. Shahanir matsui vastava varva daina sherev loba. So the end of the spring. And he said, Rabbi, he quotes Rashi, he continues to quote Rashi. It was Ein Zeh P'shul Shalmikra. That's not the Pashut Pshat. Rebbe Naaman Matzinu, Ayelech V'ito Kivras Ha'aretz. Naaman is interacting with a Navi, and he travels a Kivras Ha'aretz. So there it sounds like it's the distance that he's traveling, not a time. Od Kivras Ha'aretz of Orafrasa. Hard to imagine here, that's what it means. V'omar Nishu Shei Midas Karka. Rashi says it sounds like similar to Menachem, that it has to do with distance, but not that it's merely not just a sort of exclamation, oh, it's still a long way to go. Rashi says it sounds like it must have been some unit of a measurement that we no longer have, but that was a measurement, like an amma, like a mil. It was a unit of distance for measuring land, an acre, something like that. That's Lashon Rashi. And the Ramban says, I disagree fundamentally with all three approaches Rashi mentioned. Rashi quoted Menachem, Lashon Kabir, a long distance. He quoted the Medrash Agada, the Bereishis Rabbah, that has to do with the season when the soil is more arid, like a kivara. And Rashi is understanding that the kivara or kivra is a distance, is a unit. Says no. Anachon Mashachar Shabar Rabbeinu David Kimchi, the Radak, he hakaf ledimyon ve'ena sharashis. He says the kaf is a prefix. It's not part of the shorish. Not kabir. Ki v'ras eretz. Like a ki zayis and a ka beitza. A ka zayis, a ka beitza. The core word is zayis or beitza. A zayis is an olive. A ka zayis is something that's the size of an olive, like an olive. So he says, that's what's going on here also. Motza mil v'ayula v'aros lavo v'atavreini lechem. We use that term sometimes for Sudas Havra'a. And we hear the word bar coming up. In upcoming parashas, they go down Lishbor Bor to get bar, to get food. And Ramban says it means specifically inyan achila mu'etas baboker. It means breakfast. Baras or bar means a small amount of food you have in the morning. Uperusha. So what does it mean? Shir mahalach eretz min haboker ad le'es ha'ochel. The amount of distance you can travel from when you start traveling in the early morning until it's time to break for breakfast. Our practice is, you know, in contemporary culture, if you're eating breakfast, usually eat breakfast at the very beginning of the morning. But it's clear from other statements in Chazal that they often eat breakfast late in the morning. They got started with their day, and then a couple hours into the day, they would take a brunch. So that's what Rabban says. A kivras eretz, a kivras. A breakfast length of land. The amount of time you can walk when you get up in the morning, you start traveling until you break for breakfast. That's a very natural way to measure for people who are long distance walkers. And then the Rabban has a real treat. He says, that's what I wrote originally. The Rabban says, it sounds like there are two stages here. Then when I was younger, I quoted Rashi, the three approaches from Rashi, and then I accepted the Radak. But then he says, what changed? Achshav shezachisi, so beautiful to be able to read these words. Achshav shezachisi, uvasi ani lirushalayim shevach lekel hatov ametim. Abad writes, and then I came, I was zochak with great praise and great gratitude to Ribbono Shalom, who was so good to me. He enabled me to come to Yerushalayim. Rabban made Aliyah. Rabban's one of those Rishonim who made Aliyah. You have the Drush Rosh Hashanah. He came to Akko, then he made his way down to Yerushalayim. And there are a couple of times in the over the course of the Perish Al HaTorah where he references he came to Eretz Yisrael. He got his hands on an ancient shekel, so he was able to remeasure to get a sense of what the shiurim should be. So here he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the schus of coming to Yerushalayim. Ra'isi be'enai, she'en min k'vuras rachel, abeis lachem, afilu mil. He said, I was able to do direct empirical observation. I went to Kever Rachel, and I went to Beit Lechem, and it's less than a mil. That's not the distance you would walk for several hours from the beginning of the morning until you break for brunch, for your baras. He says that eliminates the approach of Radak, that several hours walk. It eliminates the approach of Menachem, that it just means more generally a very long walk, in Lashon Kabir. It's some description of a distance. But he still assumes that it's the kaf l'shimush. It's a kivaras eret. Ein bo tora kaskama. We're giving you an approximation. A kaf l'shimush shelo nimdad b'kivun. It's not a precise measurement. It's around the baras eret. It's whatever baras eret is. It doesn't have to do with the breakfast. It's some distance. It's just an agreed upon unit. Then he says, and Yashav gets a little more involved in the details. He says, if this unit has some meaning to it, maybe it's related to the word bas. Baras is like bas. Ma bariu mar bar betni. Kuhu shem lemida hakitana. It's like nowadays the mil is the shortest significant length. So he says maybe this was the daughter. That's what it means. It's a daughter, like a daughter. A smaller distance. Bas eretz. It's a smaller version of the parsa or of some other larger unit. Okay. And then he goes on to say that he noticed something else as well. Not only did he notice that Kever Rachel is a very short distance from Beit Lechem, and so it becomes clear that the Kivras Eretz refers to a short distance, and either that's just the name or Milashon Bas, that means there's a short unit of length. He also noticed another pasuk that we have about Rachel. Kol Barama Nishma. Rachel Mavaka Abana. Kol Barama Nishma, the sound is heard Dirama, in the heights. The Shmuel Hanavi is described as living in Ramasayim. Ramasayim Tzofim. Shmuel Elkanah, they lived in the heights. Ramat HaGolad. Right now I'm giving, I have the chus to join you for the shir in Washington Heights, which is an elevated Lahavdil, not Eretz Yisrael, but an elevated location on Manhattan Island. But what does it mean, the Rabban says, Kol Barama Nishma. So Rabban says, there's another point where before I was able to come to Eretz Yehuda, I imagine a man that Rachel is buried on a hilltop. Rachel is buried in an elevated spot. Kol Barama Nishma, the sound comes from the Rama, from the Rama. It says, Rabbi Chaim Ra'isi, but then I came, I was Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his great kindness, Rabban says, brought me to Eretz Yisrael, brought me to Yerushalayim, and I was able to travel around Eretz Yehuda, and I saw Kever Rachel, ain't Kvur Barama. It's not on a mountaintop, it's not on a hilltop, lo karavla. Harama, it's not even near the mountaintops. Harama shar lebiyami rachak menek arba parsas. The hilltops in Eretz Binyamin, four parsos away. A parsa is around 3 miles, let's say. Around 12 miles away. Harama shar b'har Ephraim, rachak menek yos mishna yamin. And the Raman in Eretz Ephraim, which I believe is in the Shomron, that's a two-day trip. Al-Kaini Omer says, what's pshat? Kol Barama Nishma. I came, I saw. It doesn't line up. It doesn't match up. He says, ah. And once again, using what we will call, in a sense, archaeology, using actual empirical observation of the geography, he says, now I look at the land, I tour Eretz Yisrael around, says, and now I have a deeper insight into how to interpret the psukim. He says, it has nothing to do with geography. Al-Kaini Omer Shakasa Sha'omer called Barama Nishma. The Torah says, when the Pasuk says, in Yirmiyo, that Rachel's voice is heard by Rama, Melitza Kederach Mashal. It's a poetic metaphor. What does it mean? So what's the significance? You say, call Nishma. In what sense is it Barama? So he says, I would have thought, I would have imagined, if I list off the Ramban, it means that Rachel's voice is heard in Shamayim. Not that this voice is coming from the Rama, but that it is heard even in the Rama. That's where the listeners are. Ramban understood, no. The Kol Barama Nishma means that the voice is coming from the height. So he says, originally he thought it meant Kever Rachel, it's on a mountaintop. Then he said it's being used metaphorically because when you have a sound from the hilltops, it's a way of describing poetically that Rachel's crying so much, so loudly, so bitterly, with such intensity. In other words, it's like screaming from the hilltops. You know, when they're yodeling, the Swiss shepherds are yodeling from the hilltops, so it can carry for miles and miles and miles. So powerful. And to be heard on the hilltops requires incredible volume. He says, lo never because of birama rachel mevaka abanel. Never kisham nishma hakol. Ah, he says it's not, and then he comes around. He says, we're not saying that Rachel is crying from the Rama. But she's crying so loudly that even the mountains, which you said are miles, if not days away, you can hear her on the mountains. That's how intense her crying was. That it could reach Ramat Binyamin. It could reach Ramat Ephraim. And who are Binyamin and Ephraim? Where do they come from? They come from Rachel. Ephraim ben Yosef and Binyamin both come from Rachel. And that's the Rabban's final point in this piece. Venir Be'enai says, now that we've discussed how to translate the words, The Rabban says, I was zocheh to see the location. It's not far from Beit Lechem. It's less than a mile from Beit Lechem. It's not a mountaintop, where her crying and her humility is describing so intensive that you can hear it in the mountains. Now that we've figured out what the Torah is telling us about Purush Rachel, the question is why? Nira be'enai. Ki kevara Yaakov bederach v'lo hechnisa l'ir Beit Lechem Yehuda krovasham. So let's talk of pshat. And it's more than just, okay, now let's talk about pshat. If you would have said there was Kivras Eretz is a long, very long distance, like Menachem said, or if you said like the Radak, Vayter, it's hours away, the distance it takes to get, you know, from the morning until you break for a brunch, a 4 or 5 hour walk. Okay, so we're not going to, Yaakov didn't want to schlep her by, Kavod HaMeis, he buried her where she was. Yeah, but Rabban says, now I came and saw. It's right there. You're right near Beit Lechem. And it's not as though it's a mountaintop. We're going to bury her in an elevated spot that's more of a conflict. No, it's just less than a mile out of Beit Lechem. So he couldn't bring her into Beit Lechem. Now, Bokaz Ba'ola Hashela. So what's Takip Shat? So he says, now I'm bothered. Venir Be'enai, and I think that Yaakov's rationale for burying her where he did. Kevar Yaakov bederach v'lo echnis le'ir Beit Lechem Yehuda krovasham. Beit Lechem is right there. Why didn't you just bring her in? L'fishat safaru rechakosh Beit Lechem efrata yiyya le'yehuda v'lo ratzel l'kavarat b'gvul v'nyamin. Centuries before Yoshua and the Nesim do Chalukas Haaretz, Yaakov Avinu understood Beruach HaKodesh that where he is right now is Eretz Binyamin. But that city over there that he can see less than a mile away, Beit Lechem is going to be Eretz Yehuda. He wanted Rachel to be buried in her children's section. So he stopped before the border so he can bury her in Eretz Binyamin instead of crossing the border to Eretz Yehuda and burying her in the city of Beit Lechem. And that we know again, you know, from number, not only from Sefer Yehoshua do we know that Beit Lechem is in Eretz Yehuda. We know from Megillas Rus, right? The people of Yehuda lived in Beit Lechem. Haderech Hashara Matzei Vaba Kerovala Beit El Begvul Binyamin. It says that if you look at the location where the Matseva is for Kavir Rachel, so that's, it's near Beit Lechem, but it's also near Beit. It's not so far from Beit El, which is the Psukim tell us is in Eretz Binyamin. And then he says, the Chayin Amr B'Sifrei says, I found in the Sifrei in the Meresh Halacha by Mibadvarim, the Chalk Shem Binyamin Mesa, Kedi Yisrael Parshas, Vizos HaBracha. So he says it all lines up. That's the thing. She was in Eretz Binyamin. Rabban says, I know it's very close to Eretz Yehuda. Rabban says, but it must be that it's close to Eretz Yehuda. Beit Lechem is Eretz Yehuda. He says, but I don't think that Kevar Rachel is in Eretz Yehuda. Rabban suggests, and you see from the Sifrei, Kevar Rachel is Eretz Binyamin. Rabban says, how is that? It must be that the border is near Beit Lechem. The border between Eretz Binyamin and Eretz Yehuda is in between Kevar Rachel and Beit Lechem, and that's why he stopped where he did. And then finally, he closes with the Targum Yonos of Benuziel. As he's going back to the issue of Kol Barama Nishma, he says, Avan said before, I would have thought that it means that the sound is coming from Barama. As I came and I saw Kevar Rachel is not Barama. There must be instead that means that the sound can reach. She's calling, screaming, crying so loudly it reaches to the Rama. You can even hear on the mountaintops. And again, Abarak said before, what's the significance of that? Not only it speaks to the intensity of the love and the intensity of the sorrow of Rachel's crying for her children, but specifically, he said, the visual is that it reaches all the way to those mountains of Ephraim and Yehuda, Ramah of Ephraim and Yehuda, which were empty. Because Rachel's children, who were from Ephraim and Yehuda, were gone. Then he closes by saying, there's another way to interpret Rama, also assuming that the sound reaches to the Rama. He says, Yonatan ben Uziel, who wrote the official Targum on Nevi'im, you take a look at the Targum Yosef and Uziah on Yirmiyahu, in that pasuk, he says, Kol Barum Alma Ishtana. The sound is heard, Birum Alma. The sound is heard, I'm not sure if he means heights in this world or he means spiritually, in Shammai. The Targum Kol Akasim Al Knesset Yisrael. He adds something to think about, that if you look in Targum Yosef, number one, he aligns with this approach that Kol Birama Nishma means not that the sound emerges from the Rama, but the sound reaches to the Rama. Yosef Zion perhaps understands it not as a reference to the mountains, the barren, desolate mountains that had been filled with the people of Ephraim and Binyamin, Rachel's descendants, but rather it's a reference to the sound reaches Shamayim. And then this is one final thought the Ramban doesn't unpack, which is if you look at Yonatan ben Uziel, he also understands that it's a reference to Klal Yisrael crying. The Knesset Yisrael is crying at the time of the Golos in a way that reaches to Shammai. That the cries of Klal Yisrael made an impact in Shammai, even as they were going to Golos. And at the moment, they did not see the impact of their tefillah. But they were plugging in. Apparently, it sounds like also we're saying there's a myself a similar bonim here. They were crying in the mode of Rachel. All of Klal Yisrael became a Rachel. And you think about the tefillahs of Rachel in last week's parsha, that took a long time to be answered, but ultimately resulted in a Yosef and a Binyamin and an Ephraim and a Menashe. And the tefillahs of Rachel that bring her a live Binyamin, even though she personally passes away. And that's almost like a Maisa of a similar Rabban. Interesting, Rabban doesn't spell it out. The Knesset Yisrael, the time of the Churban, they're plugging into the approach of Rachel. Even though they're being taken to Golos, they're davening. Even though right now nothing's changing Latov, everything's getting worse and worse, they're being dragged out of Eretz Yisrael, but the tefillahs are still reaching, Kol Barama Nishma, it's reaching Lerum Berum Alma Ishtama, more than they realize in the moment. Their tefillahs were making an impact in Shamayim. It should be zeicha that our tefillahs should continue to be mikubalos. Which HaKadosh Baruch Hu should put an end to the need for the intense bechias of Rachel. Kever, thank you so much for joining.